Sunday, the 17th of May, 2020. A sermon on John 14, verses 15 to 21, and Acts 17, 22 to 31. Let us pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. One mum got tired of nagging her teenage son about the state of his room, so she left a note on his pillow one day. The note read, "Dear Mike, I hate being in a mess like this all the time. Please tidy me up. Signed, Your Room." She found a reply on the pillow next day. "Dear Room, I've tidied you up. Now please shut up because you're beginning to sound just like my mum." Personal relationships become complex where both sides are not equal. And not all personal relationships are equal, like a parent and child, as the parent has more power in their roles of being leader or guide. In vexatious situations, it may seem that you are on opposing sides when the child does not want to hear what counsel the parent has to offer. The parent's words sound like a criticism or rejection when what they are trying to say is, "I am on your side and I want to see you thrive." I am on your side. Powerful words if they are true, if we believe them amid a vexatious situation. Having somebody on our side, somebody who doesn't require that we always agree with them or have to bend ourselves to their agenda, is a remarkable gift. Jesus offers this to his friends before he is taken from them. In today's passage, he tells them, "He will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth." It is very comforting and affirming for us to know that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, an advocate who is there for you, who wants the best for you. In diametric opposition is the devil, who issues destructive language and leaves you floundering or in isolation. The devil is no advocate, but rather is the accuser, the one who condemns and sends you into exile. So there are some clear differences between the voice of the Spirit and the voice of the devil. And by those voices, I mean the ones we listen to within our heads. They are real, they are spiritual, and each will send us down certain paths. However, just like being a good parent, the good Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, does not always tell you what you want to hear. You will not be told that every single thing you do or say is wonderful. "Darling, you're so marvellous, you're so clever." No, sometimes you will be brought up short on your misdeeds or sin. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, and the voice of truth will bring to your awareness what is not quite right, or what is exceedingly wrong. Ignatius of Loyola was the one who developed this understanding of the spiritual voices of the good and bad spirit. Discernment is a key skill as you learn to sift through what you are hearing and deciding whether it is true or false. This applies to the voices of both consolation and desolation, two words Ignatius used. We might use the words positive and negative, or pleasure and pain. In terms of consolation, or the positive voice, Ignatius discerned that what was of the Holy Spirit gave lasting satisfaction. One of his examples was to do with reading. If he read a racy novel, it gave him consolation, some pleasure, but not for long. If he read something of more spiritual depth, he found he was more inspired and motivated. In terms of voices that gave him desolation, as in sadness or guilt, if it was from the bad spirit, the devil, he would feel paralyzed and distanced from God. But if it was from the Holy Spirit, it was more like a wake-up call. And again, he was motivated to act and put whatever it was right. He could move forward. I found this spiritual discipline very helpful. For one, recognizing that there are always voices talking, and two, that I need to sort them out and know which ones I'm listening to. This spiritual discipline is all about our relationship with God. It is about our abiding with God and God abiding with us. This relationship is often described as a parent-child relationship. We are children of God. Inasmuch as we need to and do grow up, we nevertheless continue to listen out for the voice of God. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you, Jesus said. In God, we are never orphaned, never rejected, never abandoned, never lost. But, like typical children, we hear words we do not want to hear and shown directions we do not want to take. But like any good parent, God hangs in there, still on our side, and freely offering us his wisdom when we are ready to take it. Of course, there are children who reject their parents, who leave, who no longer acknowledge them or listen to them. And like any good parent, God waits and hopes and looks out for their return. Jesus told some stories about that. As children often are in the image of their mother or father, or something of both, the children of God are called to grow up in the image of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. We can never reach the depths of this love which comes alongside, which is patient and long-suffering, which is steadfast and kind, which is merciful and hopeful. What is it like for each of us to experience that type of love from God? What experience of that love have we known from another human being, perhaps a parent? And what is it like for each of us to give this sort of love to another? To follow the vocation which belongs to all children of God is to be alongside others, as channels of the Holy Spirit in love, faith, and truth. Abide is such a beautiful word. It is gentle and caring, open and encouraging. In the Acts reading, Paul comes alongside the Greeks in Athens and encourages them in their searching. Seeing an altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God," Paul then quotes to them from one of their own poets, Epimenides, "In God we live and move and have our being." Paul encouragingly tells them that no one, regardless of what they might or might not believe, is entirely cut off from God and removed from the influence of God. To live, to move, to be at all, is to be surrounded by God and underpinned by God. Indeed, Paul specifically says that although God wants to be sought out by us, God is not far from anyone and is within reach of everyone. These are good things to hear, but Paul goes on with words not just of comfort, but of truth. The Athenians needed to know that once you are aware of the alternatives, God does call you to make a choice, to get your life in sync with God. This tallies with Jesus' words when he made the exclusive sounding statement that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees nor knows the Spirit, but that the disciples can and do. There is a choice to see and know, or to ignore and dismiss. Stories of these choices abound in the Gospels. But let us remember, it is not God who dismisses, not ever. Abiding with God challenges us to love not only him, but also those whom he sends to us. And perhaps this is the real gift and intent of the Spirit, the Helper and Advocate, whom he promised to send to the disciples. The Spirit will sustain us as we live into the love to which Christ calls us, even when, and especially when, it means abiding with those whom we'd rather build walls against. May Jesus' words this week have you wondering who might need you to say the words, "I am on your side." Who might need to hear those words from you? May you know the challenging peace of the one who is on your side and who is within you. I found this lovely prayer online based on John 14, written by Christine Jarrett. Let this be our prayer today. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the source of our life. You have given us a wonderful world and permeated it through and through with your grace and your love. You have promised that you will give us your Spirit to be with us as we journey through this life. Yet we confess the many times when our eyes can't see you, can't take you in, can't comprehend how you can be at work in pain and disappointment and sorrow. We need your Spirit to lift our sights to your wide horizons. Teach us to pray with such openness to your Spirit that you make yourself plain to us. Bring us to that place where we are willing to place our lives in your keeping, to submit to your life-changing love, and to move with you into your large open spaces of salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name, our light and our salvation, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Spirit in the bright glory of the Holy Trinity, for ever and ever. Amen.